Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habegger.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Got some interesting bits of entertainment we want to start the hour out with. And then we'll get into some other fun stuff, that ain't right stories, good stories of the day, that kind of thing.
All right.
Looking forward to diving into all of that. But first up, we're going to kick things off with some entertainment news, and we'll get into what's new in theaters as well, everybody, a little bit after we're done at this. So I find this kind of be an interesting story, Seth.
And okay.
Certainly, I'm not going to call him Yee. Kanye West is...
please don't, yeah.
Has been in the news a lot lately. Now, he's been in the news for a while for many, many, many different reasons. But one of the things that came up before a bunch of his anti-Semitism stuff was coming out is that he had this White Lives Matter shirt that he was wearing.
Yes, I remember hearing about that.
He had 100 different reasons, or at least 5 or 6 different reasons, of why he was doing this or whatever, and trying to add to it. Now, I have to say something really quick about this subject.
Okay.
Because the numbers are there for you. This isn't just me getting on a soapbox and preaching or anything. The numbers are overwhelming of the rise of hate speech, of anti-Semitism, of hatred towards minorities, of those things.
Yep.
And with that, there are people who are going to own their stuff, and then there are people who are going to never own their, or never take accountability because they never have taken accountability.
That's right.
There's lots of people like that in our society. I have zero. I cannot respect somebody, and this isn't something like it's something I choose to do. It's just in my DNA. I can't respect somebody that cannot have accountability. They can't own their life. Kyrie Irving is a perfect example of this. Kanye West is another example of this. One of the other things that has come of this stuff is, For generations, in particular, African American communities, Jewish communities have found a kinship, have worked together, have built bridges to each other and everything.
Yep.
And you notice those two gentlemen I mentioned there are both African American, and they have created divisions that have been occurring in minor ways. But it's interesting to me. The divisions are not with people who are living in inner cities or just in living in day-to-day lives. It's more with the more rich African-Americans and that. And that's another thing that's interesting to me about this. So all these things coming about, why are we talking about it? Well, the trademark is owned by two black men. Their names are Ramses Ja and Quentin Ward. And they host a syndicated radio show called Civic Cypher. Someone else obtained the trademark and then transferred it to them, and they're holding onto it to keep others, particularly Kanye West, from profiting off it.
Wow.
Because here's the sneaky thing about every single thing that guy does. It's calculated. It's thought through.
Yep.
It doesn't seem like it is, but more times than not involves with him building his brand or making more money. Which is not that, you know, far-fetched, and I don't even begrudge him that. That's business. And he's a businessman. He's more than, if you think of Kanye West as an entertainer, you're lost. You're talking about Kanye West when he first started out.
Yeah.
Kanye West, for over a decade, if not longer, has been a businessman. He when's the last album he came out with?
That's a great point.
I mean, he's a businessman. It's very similar to Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z hasn't been going around offending people. Jay-Z's been doing his job.
Yep.
But this kind of stuff like this, it's all about making money. It's about bringing all eyes on me. I need the eyes on me.
Yeah.
Pay attention to me. Yeah. What about me? Look at me. How does it affect me? Me. It's all it is with these guys.
The question is, like, well, what is he selling? He's selling himself.
Right.
And in order to sell yourself, you need to constantly be in the public eye, which is why you continually see him make these outrageous things that he's been saying. He wants that, like you just got done saying, he wants all eyes on him.
It's how do I, in this day, in 2022, how do I do anything controversial anymore? How do I push the envelope anymore? Everything's been done. They take chances. And oftentimes it's things like this.
Yes. Which have real life consequences.
Yeah.
They don't care. He doesn't care about what happened after he said that. He doesn't care.
Well, it's very similar to what we've known for years about people that don't have any minorities in their life. They're not aware of these things because they don't care about them because they don't affect them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I'm guessing they don't have a whole lot of Jewish people in their friendships.
No.
And that kind of thing. And it's the last part of this I want to touch on is the mental health aspect because I, along with many others, but me. Almost as long as I've been in radio, I've talked about mental health, let alone in the last 5-6 years when we talk more about it.
Right.
And a lot of times people use mental health as an excuse, as a cop-out, as a crutch. It brings down everybody that actually is dealing with something like a Tourette's or autism or something like that. When they're dealing with these things, they want to lump those things in with this stuff. And every one of these things that we're talking about when it comes to mental health are a separate category. Mm-hmm. They're their own thing, and how they affect our brains are going to affect each one differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not at all saying that this couldn't play a part into it, but it does not excuse anything. If anything, it means that you got some work to do.
Yep.
Maybe you shouldn't be going to this big, modeling event or something like that. Maybe, get some therapy or something. I don't know, man. Do something to work on yourself because something is clearly not connecting.
If you are aware that you have some kind of mental illness, what are you doing? That's something like you were just saying. Why don't you try to get some help for that? If you're not aware, that's one thing. Okay, if you don't understand that you have a thing, that's one completely different. But if you know and you're using it as an excuse, then now you can't keep using it as an excuse. It means you're not learning. You're not trying to help yourself get over it.
Well, and I'm sorry, it's just not adding up.
No, it's not.
You can't lean on that and then do so many thought through calculated things.
Yeah.
Especially his conspiracy stuff, which is just laughable. It honestly is laughable. If it wasn't hurting so many people, it would just be a good joke. But when it comes to that, you can't have one of the. You got to pick a lane here. It can't be one. It can't be both. You can't be. It's no different than if I go into court and I plead insanity, and they say, yeah, but how can you plead that when you obviously planned this whole thing through? You did this, this, and this, and this, and then they prove with the court, with the jury, that hey, I'm guilty. I'm not insane.
Yep.
I had thought throughout this whole thing.
Right.
Public perception is not that different. Mm-hmm. We're not fools. We can see the pattern here. We can see what he's doing. I got my hand caught in the cookie jar. You know what? It wasn't me. It was my brain. It was my brain's fault. He becomes basically like Homer Simpson. I don't like you and you don't like me, brain, but we got to get along here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
And it's hopefully one of the last times I will ever publicly talk about him. I would like to going forward.
Yeah.
There are certain names you never hear me talk on the air about, and they're in the public eye all the time.
Yep.
He's one of those that is going into that group for me. I honestly, to be fair, I don't understand why we talk about him anyway. Why does anybody care what he thinks or says? I think that with a lot of celebrities, mind you, he has a right to his opinion. He has a right to say what he wants. But also, why are people putting microphones in front of him?
Well, that's it. That's just it.
Why are people doing that? Why do people care? Like, it's not as if he's a lawmaker or he's a an impactor or something like that. He really he's a civil rights activist or something like that. Like, he's nothing of that. He's not even a good rapper.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good producer. I will say that. He's always been a good producer, but I never thought he was a good rapper. I don't understand, like, the last hit he had. When was that? Even if he had a hit just come out just now, he's a musician. Why are we listening to what he has to say about religion and these things and stuff? Like,
well, and that's just it. I mean, I want to be clear about this. What James is not saying is shut up and dribble. He's not saying that.
God, no.
Because, yeah, he's got it right, but everyone has a right to say their opinions, but then everyone else has a right to comment on those opinions.
Right.
Okay?
And you have to be held accountable for those opinions.
Exactly.
And that brings me to Kyrie Irving. I would never tell an athlete to shut up and dribble. Mm-hmm. I want to hear athletes. Just talking about American athletes, you're an American citizen. That doesn't change just because you dribble a ball or catch a ball for a living or whatever. You have a right to your opinion. You also have to take accountability for that opinion.
Exactly.
You have to own that opinion. Not this whole, I'm sorry, I hurt people with what I said or anything. No, just own what you said. And if you are anti-Semitic, own it. I would respect that more than this fakeness and everything, than this trying to hide behind stuff and everything.
A lot of times, I've found that a lot of times when people are talking or complaining or whatever about free speech, what they're talking about is consequence-free speech. They just want to be able to say it with no consequences. Well, that doesn't work that way.
Some people also will just also tell the person being offended, well, just shut up and take it. You know, your stiff upper lip and stuff. The people that say that, 99% of the time, are people that have never dealt with this stuff.
No.
One of my earliest memories is getting on a school bus and a kid saying, that Jew's not sitting next to me.
Yikes.
That was a kid that was a little bit older than me, but it was 11, 12-year-old kid said that to me. I've literally dealt with this my whole life. Mm-hmm. I can take a punch. I have no problem taking a punch. What it is especially for minorities, and I'll just speak for Jewish people here. The Holocaust started this way. The Holocaust started with a bunch of madmen running around, handing out pamphlets, telling people, hey, this about the Jewish person, this about the Jewish person. Mm-hmm. Are we maybe a little bit sensitive to this stuff or anything like that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we can't. There is no quarter with this. We cannot afford to give no quarter with this. Mm-hmm. We've done it. We did it with the plagues. We did it with this. And most things that are most people that are anti-Semitic, where it differs from the anti, hating on anti or sexism or racism and those things. Mm-hmm. It's such a divide and conquer thing. All of those, but specifically anti-Semitism, because most of these racists, Nazis, skinheads, whatever name they want to call themselves, while they hide under their hoods and everything like cowards, they see that minorities are getting along, minorities working together. How do I separate them?
Yeah, because that's a bad thing for them.
When it comes to anybody with darker skin or anything like that, they're inferior. They're not as good as us. They're not this and that. With the Jewish person, they're conniving. They own everything. They're working against you behind the scenes. Ooh, Jewish space lasers. Ooh. You notice the difference. Mm-hmm. You notice the difference in hate there.
Yeah.
It's not about necessarily dragging us down. It's they're out to get us. They're the reason you haven't they're the reason you haven't gotten that promotion. They're the reason you're not making Elon Musk money. It's all their fault. They control everything. It's so twisted and different in a different type of evil than other ones. It's things to keep in mind and to be aware of here. And if I rambled a little bit, I monologued a little there, I'm not going to apologize for once.
No,
it's
your show.
On that one.
It's your show. You can do that.
And I'm sorry. How many people do you know that work in radio, Jewish people that work in radio that have this opportunity? I got to be able to look. I got to be able to look my kids in the eye.
Yeah.
I got to be able to do that. That's,
look yourself in the mirror. I mean, come on, man.
That one's getting tougher and tougher by the day, brother. This is white hair.
All that white hair, man. Yeah. I don't know.
For those that are thinking of dropping down to Netflix's ad-supported tier to save a couple of bucks, before you do, you should know a couple of things about it. Due to licensing restrictions, some content hasn't made its way to the cheaper version yet, but Netflix suits claim they're working on it. But for the time being, so a lot of people are doing this right now, but not realizing that they think they're just going to get ads in their Netflix now. It's not just that. You're also going to be losing some shows and some big ones. But for the time being, the shows you can't watch if you had that support is House of Cards, Peaky Blinders, New Girl, The Magicians, The Last Kingdom, The Sinner, Good Girls, The Good Place, Friday Night Lights, Arrested Development. How dare you? Now I'm mad. All these other ones.
You did it, Netflix. You
don't mess
with
that. You don't mess with my Arrested Development. The movies that aren't available yet include Skyfall, 28 Days, The Imitation Game, and Bad Guys. On the plus side, Netflix Basic with Ads, as it's called, is only $6.99 a month, and it's available now. And they have had a lot of people switching to that.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I'd like to reiterate my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Now the ads have started to permeate all the streaming, most of the streaming services, not all of them yet, but they will. They will.
But
it's going to be, this is exactly what's going to happen. Then they're going to look around and say, you know, we've got all of these different streaming services out there. Why don't we bundle them together and make it as like one big thing. And we're back to cable TV.
It will go full circle.
It will.
I just don't know how soon it'll happen.
It'll happen.
You're 100% right.
It's going to happen.
New in theaters, The Estate is rated R. It's a comedy starring the great Toni Collette and Anna Faris as sisters trying to kiss up their irritable, terminally ill aunt in hopes of inheriting her estate. The aunt is played by Kathleen Turner.
Really?
Oh, those three ladies, that sounds really good.
My goodness, that's great.
Anna Faris is arguably the most unappreciated comedic actor in the game. I mean, not just actress, actor. She's so dang funny, and her facial expressions and everything are so great. And why she's not a household name to me, I can't figure out. She's pretty, she's funny, she's talented, she's really good.
Yeah, I don't know, but you're right. She's extremely funny.
Toni Collette is really, really good.
She's also very good, yes.
And man, and Kathleen Turner's voice, like I just want to hear it every day.
I want to scratch my back with it.
Yes, yes, well said, yes.
Because it's such a great, oh man. Man, that gravelly, I love that voice. Such that kind of voice. Oh, I love it.
I'm looking forward to seeing this one, too. Armageddon Time, rated R. It's a coming-of-age story that tackles racism from the perspective of a young Jewish boy in the early 80s. Hmm. He gets caught doing something, and it's about the cast, too. That story sounds really good, but it stars Anne Hathaway and Jeremy Strong, two fantastic actors.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, and Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, he's just going to show up, you know, why not?
Anthony Hopkins is the grandfather who survived the Holocaust and is trying to teach his grandson to fight the prejudice and stand up to his friend.
Wow.
I get goosebumps just thinking about Anthony Hopkins playing a role like that. You know, it's just amazing. I cannot wait. There's some interesting stuff about that one too. But
yeah,
we got to get to commercial break here. Before we do, though, I did want to get to one more thing, entertainment wise, and it's not new in theaters this weekend, but it is coming up November 18th and 19th. It is the studio theater production of All the Ways to Say I Love You by Neil LaBute. This is directed by Michael J. Laskowski, and it is being performed. It's a one-person show being performed by our own Melissa Kay.
Yes.
You and I, Seth, know how hard Melissa has been working on this.
Very much so, yes.
It's an interesting, very unique story.
Yep.
I do want to make sure that people understand that unlike the main stage, studio theater, it's a smaller show, smaller stage, more personal.
Very, very intimate, yes.
And it does oftentimes involve adult language and content.
Yes. So keep that in mind, everybody.
Yeah. And as long as you know that going into it, I promise you, you're going to enjoy yourself and have a great show. Melissa is one of the finer actors you're going to see, and she is one of the harder workers you're going to know.
That's right.
And man, that combination, along with a great director like Michael and all that, I cannot imagine how good this show is going
to
be.
If you want to hear a little bit more about this and WRCT in general, tune in 8 o'clock. On Sunday night, the director's cut, the entire hour is going to be James and I talking to Tim Young, the executive director there, and Beth Roan Habhager, somewhat familiar with, who is the president of the board, and just going over all kinds of interesting things about the theater, including Melissa's show, the next show coming up, Miracle on 34th Street. So tune in. That's, of course, right after Seth Faces the Music.
Yes.
6 to 8. I want to just throw in real quick, today or this week, My theme is Friday.
Oh, no.
On Friday, but it'll be on Sunday.
Yeah,
That's confusing at all. No, songs about Friday is what it is for this week. So
that's a good idea. I like that. I'll ask you off air. I don't want to ruin the show. Be sure to catch Seth Faces the Music 6 to 8 this Sunday. And, of course, after that, Director's Cut Episode 2 premiering this Sunday 8 to 9. We'll come back. And get your tickets for All the Ways to Say I Love You and any of the WRCT productions. You can go to wrctheater.org. That's wrctheater.org. And you can also get tickets the day of the show as well.
Indeed.
Which, again, will be November 18th and 19th. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. Seth and James here with you. And continuing a little bit of entertainment conversation here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you more into villains than heroes? Based on a recent survey of over 2,000 people, 3 in 5 watch a movie or series just for the villain.
Okay. Oh. Ooh.
It's a little higher than I would have expected.
That is a little higher.
Not that much, but I didn't expect it to necessarily be 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Also, depending on the generation, there's a different reason for this preference. Gen X are more interested in the villain's powers, while millennials are interested in its backstory, and Gen Zers think villains are more complex.
Ah. Oh, interesting. Wow.
And in a movie about their own life, 34% of people imagine themselves as the villain.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
That's a little strange. 34%.
Look, I'm pretty tough on myself, and even I don't go that far.
No, no.
So this leaves us with a question. This leaves with so many questions as far as that part goes and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we necessarily have the time to dive down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. So these are the top 5 types of characters that make the best villains according to this survey, this study.
Okay.
Number 5, werewolves. 25% of people think that one.
Werewolves, really? Mm. They're kind of mindless. Well, I guess... not all of them are like that.
No,
and the Wolf Man was always a good character because of the complex.
It is a classic character.
Yes,
it's definitely. I will say if you've never seen a werewolf story in a movie in your life and you're walking into one, chances are you understand the game.
Yeah,
moon comes out, I turn into a big furry dog.
Yeah.
Number 4, mob boss or member. I want you all to forget you heard that. Everybody forget you heard that, okay? We're moving on. There is no number 4.
Yeah, I got
going from 5 to 3 here.
As a person whose family on both sides had some pretty impressive, mob people throughout the years. How come it's always Italians?
Yeah.
There were mobs of every different ethnic group. There's Irish and Jewish and all African American mob. I mean, come on.
There's a gay mob. There's literally anything. Like, there's a mob of everything. I think there's a mob. I think there's a mob just for mobs. There's all kinds.
That's
of
the next level.
Just there's a huge difference of movies and TV.
I know.
Movies in real life.
Real life, I get it. Yeah.
They romanticize that world so very much and everything.
Too much, yeah.
And I love The Godfather. I watch those movies too. But I know that they're fake. I know that that's fiction. I know that Mario Puzo took a tiny little bits of reality and embellished enough. Well, he can't tell the real story. None of us can.
I would say that if you want a movie there's a lot of fictionizing in it, but if you wanted a movie that's actually the closest to what actual mob life is like, Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Because that was based on like a true, story, like real reminiscences from an actual guy who was in it, and he had no reason to lie. I mean, he was that kind of stuff. So that to me, it shows a little bit more accurately what it's like.
Number 3 on the list, again, number 3, not number 1 on the list, number 3 on the list, the devil at 27%. And we've done other lists like this where the devil has not made number 1.
What's wrong with it, man?
I mean, look, no sympathy for the devil here, but...
Yes.
Please
allow me to introduce myself.
Thank you for getting that. I got to think that you got to be pretty frustrated. I mean, you're the baddest man in town.
You're supposed to be.
You're supposed to be.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Look, zombies are more scary than you are.
You'd think he would not be happy about that.
A mob boss and a werewolf are at 25 and 26%, devil at 27%. So not even that bigger, not even that much more intimidating or scary. Number 2 on the list, zombies at 27%. So in vampires are number 1 at 34%.
Yeah.
If it ain't a vampire movie, it's a zombie movie. If it ain't a zombie movie, it's a vampire movie. I mean, both trends have been going on since we were in high school.
Right.
And Interview with a Vampire or something like that was coming out and stuff.
That's very true. I hadn't thought about that. You're right.
I have this. I will give you this, Hollywood. I'm just giving you this. No copyright.
No charge.
No catch.
Yep.
Cast me in one of the movies or something, maybe, but we'll talk. Vampire zombies.
Vampire zombies.
They're already... I mean, a vampire, in order for a person to become a vampire, they die and all that, come back. So aren't they the same thing, essentially?
Yeah.
Like I know that they're not, because a zombie is just somebody who dies and comes back and all that.
Yeah.
But is that... I mean, really... There's not a huge difference between these two and stuff. I say, let's see that as the next horror movie. Zombies, vampires.
Yes.
That's the next horror movie.
You're
welcome.
Yes, there. It will fail so miserably. It would fail horribly.
It already got canceled. It already got shut down.
See, those kind of monster things never work. Your werewolf vampire doesn't work. Sorry. Yep. I just realized something about this list. There's only one thing on this list that's an actual thing.
Yes.
Everything else is like supernatural or fake or not a real thing.
Right.
So why am I... I guess it's not surprising to me that one of the things on the list of people, you know, villains, is serial killer.
Right.
Like an actual scary thing that's out there.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Oh, no, we don't want to touch that, even though that's actually exists and it's very scary.
I wonder if that's part of it.
I think you're right.
Because I'm not one of those people that enjoys, like, I don't get scared easy and I don't like being necessary. I don't like watching horror movies really that much. So I wonder if that's the thing. Like, we want to be scared, but not too much. Like, I don't want to watch a documentary about how the world's dying or something like that. But I'll be scared by zombies. You know, that I wonder how much that plays in our psyche. You know?
People are not getting on roller coasters that might come off the tracks.
Right.
They're getting on ones where they know they have taken every safety precaution.
Right.
They're not getting on those other ones.
I like this. I like being scared, but I'm still safe. I'm in my movie theater.
It's not actual fear. It's a little different. Yeah.
We'll take a break right there. We'll come back after Melissa's news and get into something very fascinating coming out of science. And this week in science, we have a plan if aliens reach out and say hi. So we're going to get into that when we come back.
Science!
She blinded me. It's time for Melissa's News here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Seth and James here with you.
Bumper music, you mock us.
Yeah, it is mocking us.
It is
mocking us a little bit. We've been kind of joking about getting some... I do love this part.
Yeah.
That is a good part. That is really good. It's just not sunny enough for this weather.
No, it's not
sunny enough. No, we've been joking about getting because we had Seth set up having a bumper music, music with the Halloween.
Yeah, games. right.
And that was great. Nice work on that, by the way, man. We've been joking about getting Thanksgiving of ones of that, but I can only think of like one Thanksgiving song.
It would be the same one over and over again. Basically,
it'd be the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song is the only one I can think of. I Googled this just for the heck of it to say, okay, well, literally just typed in Thanksgiving songs. Tell me what you got, search engine.
Yep.
And the first thing that comes up is Thanksgiving song from Mary Chapin Carpenter. I'm not familiar with that, but I'll give that a listen. Number two, Autumn in New York from Billie Holiday. If you forced me, you got to choose one voice the rest of your life you'll listen to. It would be Billie Holiday for me.
Right.
Patsy Cline is in there, some others, but Billie gets the kick. Ella Fitzgerald, but Billie gets it. I know Autumn in New York very, very well. I've never once in my life thought of that song during Thanksgiving or anything.
No, it's a fall song for sure.
It's a fall song, Autumn, absolutely, but no.
It's not a Thanksgiving song, no.
A very sneaky unknown artist, but I believe a Minnesota artist, and a guy who I really like a lot, and a guy that you can hear on the college station near us, Stevens Point Station, 89.9. Mac DeMarco, great singer-songwriter. Big fan of Mac DeMarco. Cooking Up Something Good. But again, it's not Thanksgiving, though.
No.
We Are Family from Sister Sledge. I mean...
Well, these are stretches. Real stretches.
Turkey Chase from Bob Dylan.
Maybe. It's got turkey at least in it, yeah.
Oh, you talking stretches, Seth. I Want to Thank You from Otis Redding. Like, come on. I mean, it's a great song.
It is.
It's not about if these songs are good or not. It's just...
Whether they're Thanksgiving songs.
Yeah.
Just saying thank you is not... No, sorry.
Here's a tricky one. From James Brown, Do the Mashed Potato. Is that... I don't know. About that.
I'm not even going to try to do a Thanksgiving theme. Seth Face of the Music. I'm not even going to try. If I had to choose from like that, I'm like, no, I'm not doing it.
Too much. Not to mention, you'd never get it done. You'd be racking your brain.
I'd have to create my own songs for it, man. That would take forever.
It seems like a very long process.
It would be.
We were talking science before, and I want to dive into this one. This week in science, it's time for Nerd News. Here's a quick rundown of the week in science. SpaceX had its 50th launch of the year on Monday and landed both boosters in Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Wow.
It was the first time since 2019 they've used their Falcon Heavy rocket, the most powerful one in the world.
Okay.
That's pretty noteworthy. In health, in health news, two separate studies identified things that are bad for your heart, vaping, and being stressful, a stressful marriage. Now, I think both of those seemed like it, but there's now more evidence about the vaping thing.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
And the stressful marriage one, I haven't heard that much about, but I you know, it's pretty.
It's logical, right? It would do that, right?
In animal news, forensic experts might be able to pull DNA evidence off of cats at crime scenes now.
What the?
There's that's one we don't have the time to get into the science of that. It is fascinating. If you're interested in that kind of thing, which I nerdly am, it's really interesting stuff how they're able to do this. And it's not just cats, but like dogs and things like that. Mm-hmm. There was a story of a guy who was a burglar, but brought his dog with him for some reason. And that part of the reason they caught him was by the dog tracks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It just blows your mind, man.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the dog, they probably wouldn't have caught this guy. He was so good at it. But because he had to bring Fido with, which I love bringing man's best friend around and everything, but, you know.
You should choose the times you do it. That's just could get a dog sitter, I guess.
You get what you put into the world. And finally, crows are even smarter than we thought. I want to say it was a 10-year study they did on crows and studying their behavior, and they are actually one of the more intelligent birds in the kingdom of birds.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting.
And I know you're a crow guy. That's kind of one of your things. Yeah. To me, crows are too smart. And they're actually kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is the birds. The movie, the birds. Like, oh, no, they're coming for us. Ah, no.
Yeah. And finally, if aliens beamed us a signal tomorrow and said hi, how would we respond? Believe it or not, there is a real plan for dealing with it in a coordinated way. So a team in the UK is working on new protocols.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. I'm a big believer in not waiting until something's a problem to do something about it.
Oh yeah,
I'm an offense guy, even though in football I love watching defense. I am more my life. I live more offensively than defense.
The best defense is a good offense. In other words, it's kind of the way you look at it.
This is a little. I don't want to say silly, but it does seem a little bit like one of those things of like, hey, where do we put that folder with what we do if aliens contact us?
Someone misfiled it. Come on.
Really feels like one of those things where you're in the heat of the moment kind of thing, you know?
Let's have something ready. Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea.
The new SETI post-detection hub hosted by the Center for Exoplanet Science and the Center for Global Law and Governance of the University of St. Andrews will act as a coordinating center for international effort, bringing together diverse expertise across both science and humanities for setting up the way we will respond to these things.
Yeah.
They've got a good amount of different, voices and minds and different people involved in this. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, and as far-fetched as it sounds, I mean, at least to some of us, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because we talked about on this show before how, we think that it would be nearly impossible that there aren't any other intelligent life forms in this gigantic universe that we have here.
Seems so far-fetched.
It seemed that there wouldn't be. Yeah. But we've talked about, just because of, the technology issue and the distances we're talking about here, it's unlikely. It's very unlikely. But at the same time,
You just never know.
Yeah. So
we'll see. I will say this: as we reach more spots in our galaxy, as we are reaching out to our galaxy more, as we are getting smarter and technology is growing, it does feel like it's a matter of time now. As more a matter of time than this may never happen or this is far fetched. I believe you're right. It is still far fetched.
Mm-hmm.
I think, it's getting a little bit closer to
every little bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There was actually another real quick, James, if you don't mind. There was another science story that I ran across recently that I thought was really cool, and this would be a threat that would actually be more likely than an alien kind of visitation kind of thing. NASA just recently successfully diverted the course of an asteroid.
Yes.
DART, as it was called, the DART rocket, which is. Think about that. That's amazing.
Just mind blowing.
They were able to reverse its trajectory, which, there's always going to be a chance that there's a big asteroid headed right towards us. I mean, again, slim chance, but there is a chance. And that's cool. I mean, the idea that they actually have something they can do about it was, wow, that's amazing.
Go ahead right now, crumple up a piece of paper and about, you know, 5-10 feet away or whatever, try to shoot it into a basket. Maybe you make it, maybe you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you're eyeballing it. You're trying to figure it out. You mm-hmm. don't know. You're not going to measure this. You're not going to actually try to figure it out. Now try to think of doing that type of thing in space. In a vacuum.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Space ain't just black. It's a vacuum. It pulls.
There's no friction.
It's amazing that we are able to pull this off. It kind of gets lumped into, humans, we love to blow things up. We'll even do it in space or something like that. But it's extraordinary where we've come.
Yes.
So again, it just leads me to this where I think it's more closer, that we're closer to it than farther from it.
I think you're right.
Take a break. Come back with the That Ain't Right Story, good stories of the day, and more fun on mornings at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day.
Stop mocking us.
Yeah, just messing with us now.
It's like we should be on the beach now or something. Yeah. Come on.
We need bumpers to fit our weather. That's what we need. Like the rain bumpers.
All rain songs,
Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR. Seth and James here to take it to the top of the hour, where we will kick off Morning Magazine, our final one for the week. And boy, do we got a good one for you, everybody. In part one of Morning Magazine today at 10:06, we're going to welcome in Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids Outstanding Teen competitors. We're going to bring some of those ladies in with us. And in part two, our good friend Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, is going to join us. We always like talking with Stephanie.
Yeah.
I did want to touch on our weekend schedule just a little bit, Seth.
Good idea.
We got some good stuff lined up this weekend and some moving pieces as well.
Yes.
Because later today at 5:30, you're going to have hockey on the radio. It's a puck night. You're on Wisconsin. Your Badgers are taking on Michigan State at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good one.
Yep.
On Saturday, we have a Wisconsin football game kicking off at about 9 a.m. Our coverage will start about 9 a.m. That means no over the back fence on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sunshine Polka Show will be moved from noon to 7 a.m.
That's right.
So at 7 a.m., get your polka fix. Join the greatest polka show in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Hubbelt, who does a great job with that show, and a shout out and good morning to Tim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for doing such a great job on that show, and be sure to join him for it 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, and then at 9, just stick around, just keep this right on, you know, why bother flipping your dial around and all that? Just leave it right here and enjoy some Badger football after the Sunshine Polka Show, and you keep it here a little bit later, Saturday night at 4:30, the Badgers hockey team is going to wrap up that series with Michigan State.
Yep.
And that'll be, our coverage of that will begin at 4:30. We'll talk about all of this on Monday's Playmakers at 10 a.m. Be sure to join us for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the call-in sports show. You make your you get your sports thoughts and feelings on the radio, thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that show.
Mm-hmm.
All that coming up. And then on Sunday, as we touched on earlier, Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8. You can catch it every Sunday.
Yep.
Friday theme this week, huh?
Friday for Sunday. That's right.
I like that. That's good. And afterwards, be sure to catch Director's Cut.
Yep.
It is a fun one this week. Episode 2, we went. Seth and I took the equipment over to Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and recorded it there with Tim, the Executive Director of WRCT, Tim Young, and, of course, Beth Habager,
mm-hmm.
who is the Board Director. Director.
The president of the board.
Yeah, over there. So it's a great conversation. Be sure to join us 8 to 9 every Sunday for a Director's Cut.
Yep.
More and more that show goes around and evolves, we're going to be able to have on music guests, authors, all those kind of things.
We're going to get everybody we can.
That Ain't Right story time.
All right.
The woman who did this better hope the cops catch up with her before her mom does.
Uh-oh.
A 16-year-old Tania was working at a shift at a McDonald's in New Orleans last month when a woman walked in and robbed the place at gunpoint. She locked Tina and her coworkers in a walk-in freezer, so Tina took out her phone and called 911. And on the other end was her mom.
What?
Her mother, Terry, has worked at a call center in New Orleans for 24 years.
Oh, my gosh.
She was supposed to be done for the night, but stuck around to help. They were short-staffed.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like, unfortunately, a lot of our dispatching jobs are right
now. Exactly.
And a big shout-out to all of our dispatchers out there.
Very important.
So they released the audio from the call, and it's pretty nuts. Tina is freaked. It's her first job, and she never thought she'd be dealing with a robbery.
Of course.
But thankfully, on the other end is her mom. who not only is a great dispatcher, as I mentioned, been doing this for over two decades, but her mom. So, I mean, you know,
it's nice to have her mom there. Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, her mom was able to calm her down, sent help, and everyone in the freezer was okay.
That's great.
Terry says she didn't even realize it was her own daughter on the phone until Tina started calling her mama. And it's me, and told her to send help.
Oh, wow.
The robbery happened October 17th, but they just released all the details about it this week.
Mm.
Cops are still trying to find the woman who did it. There's security footage, but she had a mask on. But what we can tell here, it looks like they are closing in on, this case, yeah. Wrapping this case up.
Question.
Yeah.
Robbing a McDonald's?
Yeah, really. Really.
You know, with the prevalence of cards, you know, like credit debit cards,
yeah.
That people pay with more, is there even a lot of cash anymore at, like, restaurants? You know, other than that. I mean, I can understand a bank because they have money there, a lot of money. But these other places, gas station, I mean, really? It doesn't – yeah, sorry.
I don't get it.
Wasn't thought through, I don't think.
No, not at all.
Or they thought it would be easier or something? I don't know.
Not exactly going to be –
trying to match – with people like that, I should just stop.
They're not going to be. That's not the plot for Ocean's 14. It doesn't look like. I don't think they're going to be using.
You're robbing a McDonald's. Yeah.
Looking at some good stories of the day, a family's lost cat was rescued from a set of subway tracks in Philadelphia on Sunday.
Ooh!
And it's all thanks to the World Series. The cat's name is Edgar. He escaped from his owner's carrier while they were on a subway platform. Because of the World Series, there were more transit workers on duty, so they started a massive search. One of the extra workers spotted the cat, and now he's back home safe and sound, probably knocking some things off tables.
That's what cats do.
That's pretty cool how that worked out.
That is pretty good. How about that?
An older lady in Florida drove off the road on Sunday, plunged into a canal, and could have drowned, but a paraglider saw it happen and helped save her. He had a GoPro on, so it's all on video. He and a friend landed in the nearby field and found someone on the other side of the canal to throw her a rope.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Once she was out, they called 911. Paramedics got her to a hospital where doctors treated her for minor injuries.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just.
I mean, of all this stuff at one time. What are the odds? I'm just curious about what the odds in Vegas would be for that, right?
Really, really. Because I always love saying the universe always puts you where you're meant to be. You know, whether you realize it or not. That's really taking that to an extreme, though. That's really like. And a mom in Maryland posted a video of kids at her son's preschool being super sweet to him. His twin brother had been in the hospital and he'd just gone to visit. As soon as he showed up to school, all the other kids jumped up to give him a big hug.
Oh.
His mom says she can't wait to see what they do when his brother returns.
Oh my gosh. Jubilation.
That's really cool.
That's a sweet story.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
And one final one here that I wanted to touch on, and this is comes to us from the goodnewsnetwork.org. Andy Corbley doing the reporting on this one. This is going to be one I think you're going to want to do your homework on, everybody. You're going to want to read this article.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give you a bit of cliff notes on it.
Yeah, sure.
A unique patient who has survived a dozen different types of cancer tumors over a lifetime could provide the key for researchers to develop new early detection and immunotherapy treatments, says scientists.
Wow.
And a cancer diagnosis can change someone's life, but 12 is nothing that any of us could probably comprehend.
I can't, no.
The course of this individual's life has been nothing short of extraordinary.
Mm.
They first developed a tumor when almost still a baby, followed by others every few years. In less than 40 years of life, the patient has developed 12 tumors, at least 5 of them malignant, each in a different part of the body. Despite this death sentence, as most would see it, the patient's immune system seems to be supercharged and capable of producing anti-inflammatory responses strong enough to fight off all these various cancers.
Wow.
When the patient first came to Spain's National Center of Investigating Oncology, a blood sample was taken to sequence the genes with most frequently involved with hereditary cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But no alteration was detected in them.
Hmm.
The researchers then analyzed the individual's entire genome and found mutations in a gene called MAD1L1.
Mm.
And that's where the story really gets interesting and the science gets kind of heavy.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, you know, just look at just grab the headline of this one if you want. And already you're intrigued, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. Wow.
This gentleman and this individual alone is kind of interesting, let alone the fact that some of the greatest minds in the world are telling us this could lead to better immunotherapy and other things.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Wow. That's just, I don't know what to say. I honestly don't. It's an amazing story.
It's one of those ones, Seth, where I don't know how you respond to this.
I don't know.
It's pretty cool.
It's very hopeful, though, I got to say. It instills a lot of hope within me, anyway.
One more good story of the day. It is the Green Bay giveaway.
The Green Bay giveaway. The New Year's Day Green mm-hmm. Bay giveaway, everybody. Mm-hmm. Two tickets to the January 1st game, Packers versus Vikings. These are club tickets. Very, very nice. You just need to go to one of our Dropbox locations and put your name in there. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and will become qualifiers to the grand prize. The places you can go are Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria and Jennings here in Rapids, and then Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. Registration will close on November 28th, and the winner will be announced on November 30th. One registration per person, per location. Please, everybody, but have fun. We're having a lot of fun with this one. You can put your name in there. You don't know. It's going to be a great time. So come on, join in.
Have a blast with this one, everybody. Yep. Enjoy. And be sure to support local, buy local mm-hmm. when you're going to these establishments. You know,
great food.
Yes. Enjoy. You know, maybe do a little shopping or something and enjoy. And keep on listening. We can't wait to announce that winner.
Yep.
Seth, thanks a lot for sitting in with us today.
Not a problem.
It's been a fun week.
Always fun.
You have yourself a good weekend.
You too.
Everybody out there, you guys have a great weekend. Be good to each other. And we'll meet you back here on Monday for more mornings on WFHR.